This is HPR episode 2571 entitled, Kill Dr. Lucky, and is part of the series, Tabletop Gaming. It is hosted by Klaatu, and is about 19 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Klaatu reviews a board game.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hey there everyone, this is Klaatu, you're listening to Hack Republic Radio. Get ready for another board game review. This time around, I want to talk about Clue, or Cluedo, except I'm not going to talk about either of those two things. But if you grew up in America, then you know Clue. And if you grew up elsewhere, you may or may not know, I don't really have a good measure of how popular it is outside of America, but you might know something called Cluedo or Cluedo. I'm not really sure how you're supposed to say it, but you know the game, right? There was a movie made out of it too, really hilarious movie. It's a board, and it's the layout of a mansion, and someone has killed the host, Mr. Body, and no one knows who's killed the host of the dinner party or whatever. And so you have to go around to each room and you collect a clue. And really, when I say you collect a clue, you basically play Go Fish. You sort of make this accusation. You say, I think Miss Scarlet did it in the billiard room with the candlestick. Or I think there's actually a mechanic. That's how we always played it as kids. We would always just accuse people left and right. I think the actual game rules, if you read them as an adult, there's a big risk with accusing people falsely. And so to gather clues, you propose something, and there's this secret thing where you sort of each player kind of, if they have the card that you've said, that you've mentioned, they have to show it to you, but they can't show it to anyone else. It's pretty clunky, to be honest. Like, I gotta be honest, it feels clunky. Even if you're not looking at it from sort of like, oh, a game design perspective or whatever, it's pretty clunky, because that you have to make sure that you're showing, you know, you're showing people things very secretly, so you're sharing cards, and if anyone else sees that card, then the game mechanic has just been broken, because now more than one person has obtained a free clue, or someone has obtained a free clue. And if you falsely accuse someone, if I recall correctly, you're just out of the game. You have to sit out the rest of the game. So if you do that too soon, then you can go wash dishes, because nobody else, you're no longer in the game, and you're not going to have any fun. So it's a pretty clunky game in retrospect. And as kids, even, I mean, it was definitely better than Monopoly, but it wasn't the greatest game ever. And it always seemed like there needed to be something else. And now there is, and it is called Who Killed Dr. Lucky? Who Killed Dr. Lucky is a really entertaining board game that takes the idea of Clue, or Cluedo, and flips it on its head, in which the board is quite similar to Clue, a layout of a mansion, and you all assemble at a house, at this mansion that is represented by the board. And rather than trying to figure out who killed Dr. Lucky, your host for the evening, you are each trying to kill Dr. Lucky. So throughout the game, you're moving your pieces around the board for the opportunity to be in a room alone with Dr. Lucky, out of sight of any of the other players, and you attempt to murder him. Unfortunately, Dr. Lucky, as his name suggests, is just, he has uncanny luck, and he's really difficult to kill. So the way that this manifests itself is that you choose a player at the beginning of the game, choose a character, and they are, you know, strikingly similar to the Clue characters. There's no Miss Scarlet, but maybe there's a Miss Redmond or something. You know, it's everyone sort of has, it's the same motif. It is very consciously Clue turned on its head. So you pick a character. They're all the same. It doesn't really matter who you pick. And you all start in a room on the board somewhere. And Dr. Lucky, as I recall, starts somewhere else. Now, nobody plays Dr. Lucky. Dr. Lucky is the game. So you're just like, for instance, Pandemic, you're actually playing largely against a game mechanic rather than against each other. Although you really are playing against each other, because the winning condition is that whoever kills Dr. Lucky wins. So I guess you're not, it's nothing like Pandemic, you're not playing against a mechanic, but that is what controls Dr. Lucky, is the game. He's automatically controlled by the game. You are able to attempt to kill Dr. Lucky whenever your character piece, whenever your player piece and the Dr. Lucky player piece are in the same room together and out of direct eye line of other players, or rather player pieces, because obviously everyone's looking at the board and they can all see the player pieces, or yeah, the pieces. But if you, so if you are, for instance, let's just say that you are in the Lancaster room up in the right corner of the board game, you and Dr. Lucky are there. Now, if there's a player in the armory right next to that room, then that player can see through the door and would see you attempt the murder of Dr. Lucky while you're in the Lancaster room. So you couldn't do it then. You have to wait for that that player to either move on or for you to move on and for Dr. Lucky to move on as well. There are other rooms with staggered doors. So maybe the person just adjacent to you would see you, but if they're two rooms over, they don't have a direct line of sight into your room. And so that's legal. There are other rooms where the line of sight progresses through, you know, two or three different rooms. So very difficult to kill Dr. Lucky in that room. But it's a really clever mechanic because the opportunity to get to Dr. Lucky becomes a real thing. I mean, you're chasing this guy across this board, but he's moving away from you at a steady pace. So then you start calculating, okay, well, I need to get to the library two turns before he gets there, because I know that then my friend will go, and then Dr. Lucky will go, and then my other friend will go, and then Dr. Lucky will go, and then it'll be my turn. He'll have arrived in the library, and ideally no one else will be adjacent to me, and I can try to kill him. Of course, other players may try to thwart you and position themselves so that they're in the armory next to the library, such that when he arrives in the library, you are thereby not able to kill him. You have to attack from a lot of different angles, literally. So that's just the movement, and that's governed by a standard mechanic of this is how many moves you have per turn. Not a lot of variation in that, other than, like I say, depending on how many players you have, there may be inconvenient moments where people just kind of pop up into your room or in an adjacent room and thwart all of your plans. In addition to movement, though, you get some number of cards. When you first start the game, you get, I think it's 5 cards in your hand automatically, and that's a good place to start. But it's a resource that you're going to use up in ways that I will describe in a moment. So you will need to replenish your card hand at some point. The only way that you can get cards is if you are in a room out of sight of anybody. So if Mr. Lucky can see you through a doorway or whatever, then or if he's in the room, you cannot draw a card. If someone else is either in the room with you or can see you through a doorway, you cannot draw a card. If you are in a room completely out of sight of other people, you are able to draw a card. So cards are precious, and that's an important concept because they get used for two different things, two separate mechanics. So first of all, let's talk about killing, murder. When you start the game, you have a basic strength of 1. So if you're in a room alone with Dr. Lucky, you can try to kill him, and your base strength is 1 point of damage, I guess. So you could try to kill him with 1, but more often, I don't really know, maybe you need a card, but more often you're going to play a card. And one of the cards, for instance, here is, it's a weapon card, it says so on the top, and it says it's a crepe pan, so you're going to bang him over the head with a crepe pan. On the card, it states that it is worth 2 points, and under that, it says that it's worth 4 points in the kitchen. So you've got your 1 strength, you can play this weapon card. If you're in the kitchen, that's an extra 4. So now you're attacking Dr. Lucky with 5 points of damage, let's call it. Now remember, you can only attack Dr. Lucky if you're out of eye line of all the other player pieces. So the very opportunity to attack him is only there if you're alone in the room with Dr. Lucky with no other player present and no other player in a room that they can with a line of sight into your current location. Okay, so now that you're trying to kill him, the other players are going to kind of play on his behalf. So they need to boost his luck to outweigh the damage that you have just attempted to deal Dr. Lucky. And the way that they do that is that they play cards against your card. This is a little bit of a clunky mechanic, at least in the edition. I shouldn't say mechanic. The mechanic is fine. The design is a little bit clunky in the edition that I have. And it's simply because there's a lot going on the cards that you have in your hand. So each card has the damage points in a Roman, not a Roman numeral, Arabic number. And then to represent the luck points that same card grants Dr. Lucky, it has some number of clover leaves. And I think the really, really confusing thing about that is that most of the time the number and the clover leaves are the same. So for instance, here's a weapon card that deals 2 damage and grants 2 clover leaf points of luck to Dr. Lucky. So you kind of assume that the number and the clover clover leaves are always the same until finally you come across a rare card that either grants no luck or that grants less luck than damage. So here's a weapon called the Duck Decoy. It's a wooden duck that you bash him over the head with, I guess. It deals 2 damage, but only 1 point of luck. And here's another weapon, a Monkey Hand, deals 2 damage, but no points of luck. And so that sort of establishes and confirms that the clover leaves and the damage points are indeed different values. But you wouldn't know it just by kind of looking through maybe 50, 60, 70% of the cards. So that's a little bit of a clunky design. But anyway, so you've tried to kill Dr. Lucky with a frying pan, a crepe pan specifically, in the kitchen, plus your 1 strength. So you're dealing 5 damage. So now the other players need to chip in and collectively counter your attack with at least 5 points of luck, possibly 6. I'd have to look it up if I forget who wins a tie, but let's just assume 5. So one player might give up their weapon card, which they'd really wanted to use to kill Dr. Lucky in the sitting room for 4 points of damage, but they're in a pinch, and so they have to sacrifice this card for 2 clover leaves. And then another player maybe sacrifices their movement card, which would have given them a free move to the white room, which maybe would have been perfect for their plans, but they're in a pinch. They have to give it up for 2 clover leaves. And then another person has to give up their duck decoy for 1 clover leaf, and that's 5. That counters your attack of 5, I guess. And Dr. Lucky escapes. His luck has outweighed your attempt. Now, and yet another interesting mechanic here is, so first of all, let's talk about that. So the players have to sort of bid against your bid to kill Dr. Lucky. And I think this is brilliant because, especially if you have lots of players, nobody wants to give up their card, right? I mean, why would you? You would not want to do that. You would look at your card and you'd think, oh man, this frying pan or this duck or whatever is going to be worth, yeah, this duck is going to be worth 5 if I try to kill him in the trophy room. Plus my 1 strength, that's an attack of 6. Like, that's perfect. That's great. I don't want to give this up. But if nobody else gives up a clover leaf, then they have to because they don't want you to win. It's really, really painful. And it pits the players against not only you, the would-be killer in that moment, but each other, because everyone's going to try to wait everyone else out to see how many clover leaves people are going to bid. And then if you don't bid enough, then someone's just won the game. So it's like an excruciating experience trying to guess, is the guy, am I right, gonna bid 2 clover leaves to help us out, or does he not even have 2 clover leaves to bid with? I mean, like, what can we do? So if you're the last person in the cycle, obviously you're really in trouble. But that, I think that's a brilliant mechanic, because it becomes this mini game within the game of okay, now we're gonna gamble on how many clover leaves we actually need to contribute until we have enough to beat this person out. Now if it always stayed within that realm of 5 and 6 cloverly or damage points that you have to outweigh, that's fairly predictable. So it's a really cool little side mechanic here on top of everything else, that once you, if you attempt to kill Dr. Lucky and fail, you keep whatever, you keep a card from the interaction as a face down card, and this becomes a I think they call it a reason card or something like, or a grudge card, whatever, and that becomes extra strength for your next attack. That becomes 1 more point of damage for your next attempt. So the next time you try to kill Dr. Lucky, you might play another weapon card of some sort. So here's the Bad Cream weapon card, which is worth 4 in the sitting room. So let's say you go for it in the sitting room. Why wouldn't you? So you try to kill him with this Bad Cream in the sitting room for 4 damage, plus your 1 innate strength, so that's 5 damage, and then this grudge that you have because you failed to kill him with your crepe pan, so that's 6 damage. So now you've got 6. And of course, if you fail that one, now you've got another grudge card, and next time you go, you'll have that much more strength. And so people just collect grudge cards, obviously, for every attempt that they fail, and they become stronger and stronger and stronger and more difficult to foil in the end. It's a game full of really, really clever mechanics, I think. Lots of just sort of subtly brilliant ways of pitting players against either each other or this make-believe auto piece that keeps moving around the board, foiling all of your plans. I think it's really, really strong, and it has lots of little incentives, you know, like, hey, you should try to kill Dr. Lucky often, because if you do, then you get more strength, but you're also spending cards, and we don't know when you're going to get those cards back, because there are other players on the board, and you can only draw if no one else sees you, so you kind of want to keep those cards, especially if that card happens to be really, really good for some specific room. But if you don't spend the cards when someone fails, then you're going to have someone win the game. It's just one of those, it's, and And of course, the advantage to this is also because it flips Clue on its head. There's never an occasion where a player is out. You know, you don't. Everyone's in solidly in the game until a player wins. So you never have that situation where Alice and Bob both do something stupid and now I just have to sit out and go do dishes or something while the remnants of the table get to continue playing the game until one of them finally wins. It's very much a single winner at the end of the game. That is the definite end of the game when one person wins, which I think is a really a much stronger design than something like Clue or half a dozen other board games. So the game's a lot of fun. You should definitely try it if you have Clue on a bookshelf somewhere or Cluedo or whatever on a bookshelf in your house, you should buy this. You should get Kill Dr. Lucky is what it's called, because it's such an improvement over Clue that you will not regret it. One word of warning, I guess, is that the game is, well, it's first of all, so a non-warning, the game is not as violent as, you know, it may or may not sound to you. I don't have children, so maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's pretty children-friendly. And maybe instead of killing him, maybe you could say another word. I don't know how those things work. Are kids too smart for that? Whatever. I don't think it's, you know, a lot of the things that you're trying to kill him with are very sort of silly, and they're not, you know, I don't even think there's a gun in the thing. I could be wrong. Don't hold me to that. But it's a pretty lighthearted sort of game. So it's a little bit more whimsical. Maybe catch Dr. Lucky. You could try to catch him. Anyway, so it's not super violent actually, in spite of its name. It's not bad. If your kid can handle Clue, they could probably handle Kill Dr. Lucky. So anyway, that was a non-warning. One warning though is that the game sort of advertises itself, at least that I've seen, it says it's a four-player game, but that it can be played with two players. And that I think is a stretch. I think that the two-player mechanic, at least as outlined in the official rules, I haven't looked online if anyone's come up with a more clever way of doing the two-player game, but I think with two players, it becomes very difficult because what happens is you just have to introduce new fake players. So you've got Dr. Lucky moving around the board as an automaton, which, I mean, that's standard. That's in the game no matter what. But then you've got these two extra players that you have to move around the board as automatons, and then they also have to bid against you when you try to kill Dr. Lucky, so it becomes really complex because each player essentially is playing two people. I mean, the automatons, the two extra people don't try to kill Dr. Lucky, but they do. You do flip a card for them when someone tries to kill Dr. Lucky, so that maybe there's some points given, some clover leaf luck points, maybe not, depends. That's kind of the unexpected mechanic there. But you have to remember to move them, and everyone's moving in a different direction. They move clockwise. Dr. Lucky is anti-clockwise, and you're moving whatever direction you want. It becomes a lot of board management where, I mean, a game like Pandemic is a lot of board management too, like a lot. But with Kill Dr. Lucky, the board management isn't really, it doesn't feel like it's part of the game, right? You're just constantly moving pieces because you don't have enough humans, you know, and it becomes a little bit of a drag. So I would say that you really want this to be a four or more player game. You do not want to do this as a two player game, actually. The rules, at least in the edition that I have, say otherwise. It says that you can do it with two players. Strictly speaking, you can. The fun level goes down, though, just in my opinion. So that's it. That's Kill Dr. Lucky. I'll put a link in the show notes, or you can just, you know, look at it online. It's out there. It's not super expensive. And like I say, it's a big improvement over the usual sort of the obvious board games that everyone gets issued, you know, when they move in as an adult. They get the Monopoly and the Clue. You have to take that on and put it on your bookshelf and let it collect dust. Kill Dr. Lucky, a lot more fun, will not collect dust. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.